You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It is Tuesday, July 10th, 2018. It's day number 537. That's 537 of the Donald Trump presidency. He's been under fire by the special counsel for 419 of those 537 days. Think about that for a second. Just think about it. To me, it would be difficult enough to be president of the United States, the leader of the free world, unencumbered by the hassles of litigation and investigation over nonsense, you know, and I'm no stranger to that, but it's distracting as all get out, but you know, this is really, I think, one of the most egregious situations that we could have in this country. And certainly it's untenable. I don't think this can last. And we can see from a number of hot points, I think, that we're going to see some things take place in the very near term. I have been in contact with some old friends from DHS as well as the Washington intelligence community. I'll just leave it at that. Growing concerned about where things are at. And with that, I've also spoken to some I don't want to name drop, just some journalists that are household names that are saying the same thing, that they're seeing some really, really, they're seeing things that they've never thought that they would see before. In fact, one had told me that when I had written a column back in 2012 or 2013, that I was absolutely off my rocker. But now saying, you know what you said back then is really coming true, and that's about the Civil War in this country. And of course, what we're seeing as well, in case you missed it, I can't believe anyone would, and of course some of our international listeners, Brett Kavanaugh was selected by President Donald Trump yesterday. The announcement was at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, and almost immediately there was this yes, organic, spontaneous outpouring of protest at the Supreme Court. So much so, and this is what, it's not necessarily the selection, and it's not the, well, of course it is the selection, but it's more than that. It's obviously historic. But even more disturbing is the reaction, the actions of the communist left. Now, I've decided because, and I said this yesterday, when you consider what the Democratic left is, and please hang with me on this, I ask this all of the time, because I do believe at the end, by the end of the episode, I'm going to attempt to tie some points together, tie some threads together, and create this mosaic that's more comprehensible, I suppose, understandable. Is that the word? I guess that would be. So a couple of things that I ask you to do, and I'll just get this out of the way right now. Number one, I ask that you listen to this broadcast all the way through. Download it, whatever. I ask that you, if you have any questions, feel free to, or if something is unclear, let me know. Just now, I may not be able to answer your email, but I certainly will read your email. And all you have to do is go to Blog Talk Radio, and that's where to go for all of the information that's pertinent, the show notes, contact information. You can get to it via HagmannReport.com. So a couple of things. Bookmark Hagmann Report. go to the Blog Talk Radio for the Doug Hagman Radio Show, which is different than our flagship show, The Hagman Report. And bookmark that page as well. Click on the follow button if you don't mind. Please do that. And also, if you like this show, tell others about it, because I've seen the numbers on this program, and it's growing by leaps and bounds, and I want to thank those people who have done such a great job of spreading the word about this program. I like to think of this a little bit different than our flagship show and other programs out there. And because we have new listeners, I've got new listeners, just to establish my bona fides, essentially tell you who I am, 30-year-plus multi-state licensed investigator in the private sector working for Fortune 100 companies. Yes, private investigator in the private sector. Now, just to be clear, I'm not talking about a private investigator that worked domestic cases, you know, husbands following wives and vice versa. No, my specialty was more corporate fraud. And that was born out of my experience from claims work, high-value claims work, whether it be theft or mysterious or suspicious deaths of key personnel. And that, of course, led me into the forensic discipline of blood spatter analysis, and, of course, the rest is history. So that's what I've been doing for the last 30 years. So everything that you hear is from my perspective. So please, if you like the program, from just spread it along around social networking, the link, the information, and I thank you. And I also want to thank, again, just I cannot mention this enough, there are so many talented people out there that post to groups, news groups, forums, Reddit, in other locations, doing an outstanding job of, you have your own YouTube channel or your own website. Send me the link, by the way. Send me the links, because some of the most talented people I have seen are the most unsung heroes of our time, basically. The people that don't get the attention. And I'm not trying to be anything more than genuine when I say this. I've seen some marvelous reporting from people who have day jobs, and that's not to be dismissive of your day job, but who have done, you know, come home and done some marvelous investigative work, rivaling anything professional investigators, including police officers I've seen, detectives I've seen. So thank you for that, and thank you, and keep doing what you're doing, because you're making a difference in using, for example, social networking, Twitter and others as a weapon against the deep state. And thank you for that. And I'm sincere when I say that. Thank you for that. Now, of course, as I was saying, the issue is not necessarily the SCOTUS pick or the president's pick for the Supreme Court opening. It is that, yes, but the more immediate concern I've got is the volatile reaction by the left, of course, right away. Hours before the selection, of course, you had a protest. It wouldn't matter if, unless Merrick Garland was the selection, the protests would have just been over the top. And they were, even to the extent where Shannon Bream from Fox News had reported last night that she feared for her safety reporting from the Supreme Court, from that area. Now think about that in terms of today, 2018. When I said we are involved in a civil war, when I said that we are engaged in this, and that was the intent, or is the intent, of this communist infiltration in our government, this communist left, and a byproduct of Obama's Organizing for Action. This lies directly at the feet of Obama, and this is all part of a bigger picture. Now, permit me to give you the bigger picture here. because this all ties together. Redundant, no apologies. You had Obama 8 years, a Manchurian candidate, if you will. Perhaps you can describe him as that, a product of the intelligence community. When you look at Obama as being a product of the intelligence community, things fall into place. Remember, I spoke at length with Sheriff Joe Arpaio, with Mike Zullo, with Carl Gallups. We had done programs together, and the bottom line with Obama, we don't know who that man is. Now, I get emails all of the time, and I get mocked for saying just that. We don't know who Obama is. Some will not even address that. Many conservatives on my side won't even address that. As a matter of fact, one in particular who has a really extremely popular talk show had sent me some friendly advice, and I respect that, saying, if you want to remain credible, don't talk about that. Now, I respect that opinion. However, I decline to do so because I think all of this is tied together. When you look back at the meteoric rise of Obama, again, repetition, no apologies. When you look back at the meteoric rise of Obama and you look at the roles played by people such as John Brennan and to a lesser extent Mueller, as well as Clapper, you'll understand that Obama was selected for that position. Remember, over Obama. Obama was selected for that. What did I just say? Yeah, I'm confused. Remember, Obama was selected for that position. Selected for the presidency, the Oval Office over Hillary Clinton. But again, because of a number of factors, including but not limited to the fact that he, I believe strongly based on evidence, was in fact a creation or is in fact a creation of the intelligence community. There's a legend that he has. He was given a legend, a background, because remember, going back to Brennan and the passport office break-in, as I often mention, of course, his past was cauterized in a way through that passport office break-in. Maybe some information was changed. Remember, Obama was part, as junior senator, even back then, was part of the Lugar delegation, megatons to megawatts, and was part of the Lugar delegation to monitor the disarmament of the former Soviet Union, Russia. And, of course, that incident in Perm, Siberia, when he was stopped, with the Lugar delegation was stopped because of Obama's passport irregularities, ostensibly. At least that's what the foreign press reported, but not the American press. But I digress. So when you look at this and you speak with expert investigators like Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Mike Zullo and Carl Gallups, who was deputized, and you start looking into the legend, the background of Barack Obama, you begin to understand, okay, he was put there for a purpose, and that purpose, in my personal belief and professional belief based on all of my investigation, was to and is still right now to fundamentally change our representative republic into a communist collectivist utopia, to submit to a larger new world order. That's what it's all about. And you cannot go by Democrats and Republicans. It's the globalists versus everyone else. That's what we're really, that's the end game here. That's the larger picture. So in my view, it's important to have a proper perspective going into what we're seeing happening today. And I think framing it properly is half the battle. All right. So all that considered, now you've got this Donald Trump coming along. You've got this president now who has put a stop to the forward movement of the deep state. And this is where all of the acrimonious stuff is happening. Acrimonious is happening. This is where you had the insurance policy mentioned. You had this rogue element of the intelligence community, not just in the U.S., but globally, the Five Eyes, the allies of the United States intelligence community with whom Brennan has been working, and worked, I should say, and going against the will of the American people in order to keep Donald Trump out of office. That was step one. But once he secured his nomination, or at least once he secured the Republican nomination, they worked to sabotage his candidacy, failing that. And after he got into office, the subversion continues. And that's what we're seeing today as a walkthrough, I suppose. Now, I'm a little bit concerned that we have not seen Donald Trump declassifying pretty much everything under the sun with respect to Obama, what he has done, and declassifying all of the intelligence community documentation that would vindicate Donald Trump. Now, I'm concerned about that only because why wouldn't he? Well, it's not because he's got anything to hide, in my view. It's because most likely, knowing Donald Trump, when I say that, I mean knowing him like you do, I suspect that there are elements to what we are not seeing that could be detrimental to the United States. So look at it in that fashion, which brings me to a number of points here that I want to get into. By the way, tonight, you're not going to want to miss the show tonight, the flagship show. We're going to have the founder of #WalkAway visiting with us for a little bit of time. We're going to have Tracy Beans on and some others. So it's going to be a fantastic show tonight. But moving forward with what I'm saying here with respect to what's going on, we're seeing a couple of things happen with the various committees investigating the investigators. And this is where the news comes in. And I'm going to tie this all up at the end, by the end of the show, where hopefully you're going to say, wow, I didn't think of it that way. Or, wow, okay, this is something that we really need to pay very close attention to. Because we are being gamed. We're being set up. We're being set up in the most heinous way, I believe. The pitting of American versus American, you know, the division, the divisiveness we've seen, the hyphenation of everything, African American, etc. And I'm not going to go through the entire litany of modifying words, but all of this, we are at the precipice of a violent, both civil war and revolution, as I've been saying. Now, that's the intent, because a divided country cannot stand. And, of course, the media being part of the big lie, Dinesh D'Souza's book, The Big Lie, you got to grab a hold of a copy of that and read that, along with Diana West's book, American Betrayal, and Sidney Powell's book, License to Lie. When you look at all of this, and you take all of these works and this documentation, you lay it on a conference table, and you start looking and making a chart and seeing where things go and where the puzzle pieces go, you get a clearer picture of what and why we're seeing what we're seeing today. So I went from the, just to kind of recap here, I went from the SCOTUS pick, from the Supreme Court pick, Brett Kavanaugh, to the reaction, which I believe is equally important, to Obama, the background, the setting up of Obama as the occupier of the Oval Office, and then Donald Trump coming along and really being the monkey wrench here into the whole process. So, all right, so that's where we're at. Now, so that's the backdrop, in my view, of the events for today. So what have we seen so far? Over the last, as I mentioned, over the last 419 days, we've seen Mueller assemble a team, 17 or so, attorneys, investigative attorneys, and conducting an investigation of this Russian collusion. That's the title. But it's not about Russian collusion. He's not investigating Russian collusion. He is investigating Donald Trump and every person surrounding Donald Trump, looking for crimes to subvert Donald Trump's presidency. It has nothing to do with Russian collusion. And you've got a willing press, of course, attempting to or facilitating this narrative of Russian collusion, which is just a bunch of bunk. So that brings us to the current state of affairs. This week, Lisa Page will be, now Lisa Page, of course, as you know, the other half of the Peter Strzok alleged tryst. And the more I look at this alleged tryst, the more I question whether there was even a love aspect to this. I suspect that there was, whatever relationship there was, it was driven by a similar ideology. And one more time, I ask again, why would people risk their liberty and even their lives over a political situation, given the fact that politics changes on a dime? I mean, wait 2 years and the entire venue or the entire complexion of the political landscape could change. So why do we have people like Bruce and Nelly Orr and Lisa Page and Peter Strzok and others, even Mueller and Comey, putting their not just their reputations and professions on the line, but why do we have them putting their potential liberty and even their lives on the line for someone like Hillary Clinton or someone like Obama or insert name of person here? It's more than politics as usual. This is about the implementation of something much bigger, extremely large, right now. And now, so we are seeing these various committees. You've got the Senate Judiciary Committee, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, all of these committees now bringing in witnesses. So here's the landscape, just to catch you up. You've got multiple congressional committees investigating the Department of Justice and FBI, concurrent with the Mueller investigation. And then you have the Inspector General of the FBI and Department of Justice, the intelligence community, Michael Horowitz, conducting an investigation, along with the prosecutor, John Huber. And that's been going on for some time. Outside of, shall I say, the Jeff Sessions Department of Justice, because the IG would be over the Department of Justice reporting to, or at least under the executive branch in this case, kind of like the Internal Affairs Bureau of a local police department. The IA is, of course, Internal Affairs over. It would include as well the police chief, but perhaps report, depending on jurisdiction, report to a secular body or a different body outside of the police department. And that's what we have here with Horowitz and Huber. Now, I don't believe, I'm going to come right out and say this, and this may anger some people, I don't believe in the 4D, 3D chess stuff going on. I just believe that, generally speaking, what we're seeing take place, it is what it is. There's this overt and covert coup taking place. And I don't see a lot of intelligence, and by that I mean IQ, intelligence quotient, among some of these people. I just see a lot of dedication to things like this collectivist ideology and the communist ideology. It's more ideologically driven. It's more belief is the driver of action, as I've said before. But this week, up to this week, we've seen, what have we seen? We've seen the IG report drop on the, at least the first IG report drop, the 500-page report, where there's obvious bias, political bias, but I'll replace that with ideological bias, working against the President of the United States, Donald Trump. That's pretty clear to me. We've got more IG reports to drop. Meanwhile, we've got congressional committees operating all over the place. Now, the congressional committees are how can I put this? They're segmented. They're divided by political affiliation, Democrats versus Republicans, or in this case, more appropriately, deep state denizens, deep state operatives versus the white hats or the conservatives, the people who are constitutionalists. In these, this already within these within the various congressional committees, and you've got to look at people such as Trey Gowdy with a kind of a question mark and say, well, whose side is he on? Versus a Jim Jordan, who has really suffered the wrath of the deep state of late. And it appears to be obvious whose side Jim Jordan's on. Jim Jordan seems to be a white hat attempting to make sure that justice is served. But the major complaint, I know your complaint because I see it in your emails, and my complaint is in spite of all of these committees, everything that we see going on around us, where is the justice? Are we seeing justice? No. Are we seeing Hillary or anyone else being perp-walked because of the server issue or the wand issue? My goodness, what a travesty of justice with respect to Imran Awan and everyone else around him. And of course, you've got the media, the Washington Post, New York Times, saying that, see, hey, Doug Hagman, hey, others in working these, you're all conspiracy kooks because, you see, the Justice Department, they found no exfiltration of information, despite the fact that much of the evidence was withheld, much of the evidence was not flipped. In other words, one of the servers, I'll just say this, and you can research this for yourself, one of the DNC servers was actually replaced with another DNC server. The numbers didn't match, but hey, that's okay, right? In the investigation. So there seems to be this continual lack of justice. All right, so this week we're going to see Lisa Page. Of course, Peter Strzok was previously testified in camera, meaning behind closed doors. Now, tomorrow, I believe Lisa Page will be testifying behind closed doors, but there are calls for open hearings on all of these. Now, what I try to do is I try to monitor, and you know this, what I try to do is I try to monitor all of the talking pundits, the people, the attorneys and the, aside from the talking heads, but their guests, the attorneys, the people who know what's going on. And I try to grab the best of the best of the best, or the most relevant at the very least, for playback within hours of their appearances. What is coming up now and what is being determined now? And I'm going to point you in this direction. Robert Mueller, lead attorney, coordinated investigative strategy with four Associated Press reporters. All right. This is perhaps one of the most important stories of the week, aside from the Supreme Court pick. To discuss this, there was multiple, well, there's, I think, four venues that talked about this issue. And I'll explain more about this, but I do have an audio clip from Lou Dobbs, who, by the way, I have a lot of respect for Lou Dobbs. We've had some dialogue in the past. Lou Dobbs is, I would consider, certainly a friend of this program and one of the most courageous truth tellers out there. Like me, on occasion, has trouble pronouncing Joe DiGenova's name. It's just kind of an inside joke there. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to have played for you right now, and it's about a five-minute audio segment, where Lou Dobbs is interviewing Victoria Tenzing and her husband, Joe DiGenova, about this situation. Robert Mueller, the lead attorney, coordinated investigative strategy with four AP reporters. This was written up by the Conservative Treehouse as well as the Daily Caller and other locations. But the subject here is Andrew Weissman. That's the lead attorney. Andrew Weissman, who Sidney Powell wrote extensively about in License to Lie. And when you know the background of Andrew Weissman, you'll know that this man, in my view, is not a good guy. He's not a patriot. He's probably one of the most, in my view, in my personal opinion, one of the most one of the blackest of the black hats out there. But here from yesterday, from about 14 hours ago, is the interview between Lou Dobbs and Victoria Tenzing and her husband, Joe DiGenova. Take a listen to this.
Attorneys for ex-Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort raising concerns about a 2017 meeting that occurred between top Justice Department officials and Associated Press reporters. Memos revealed those reporters offered FBI agents and DOJ officials a code pertaining to Manafort's storage facility, a possible violation of the criminal justice process. Joining us tonight, I am pleased to say, Victoria Tenzing and Joe DiGenova, the founding partners of DiGenova and Tenzing Law Firm. Great to have you both with us. And I know you were impressed, Joe, that I said your last name twice in succession and was brilliantly producing and pronouncing the words. Great to have you here.
Great to be with you.
Let's start with Manafort and the campaign between the Department of Justice, the FBI, and national left-wing media, as I lovingly refer to them.
Oh, Lou, this is the modus operandi for the FBI nowadays. They disclose grand jury information to reporters, which is illegal, in return for the reporters giving them information about their supposed target. We have a client, I'll be really fast about it, Billy Walters, who the FBI, first of all—
Big-time gambler.
And a humanitarian businessman, right, and giving lots of money to charity.
Right.
And the FBI leaked that he and Phil Mickelson, the golfer, were under investigation for insider trading regarding Clorox. It was absolutely false. So not to give up, the FBI comes back and tries to get a member of a board of directors of another company to testify against Billy. And he keeps refusing, saying nothing went on. So what did they do? They squeezed the guy, leaked that the board of directors was under investigation. He lost his job. He became desperate. And of course, after being squeezed, he agreed to testify falsely, albeit falsely, against Billy. And as in the words of Alan Dershowitz, he not only sang, he composed.
Right.
And let me just say one other thing, because this is
about
the ethos.
That is a great line Alan came up with. I love that line.
He did. I adopted it, but I attributed it. One last thing about the Department of Justice ethos, and that is that the U.S. Attorney's Office for New York denied that the leak ever came from them, even though there were emails to prove otherwise, and only when the judge ordered a hearing did they admit it. And then the last thing is they promoted the agent who leaked the grand jury information.
There's also a nice tie-in to that 2017 meeting, which was apparently arranged by Andrew Weissman, pit bull of Robert Mueller's special counsel witch hunt fame.
Yes, and what we now know is that Weissman, who had done this before, and what is now recognized widely in the United States among lawyers as one of the most unethical prosecutors in the history of the department. Weissman engineered this meeting between DOJ lawyers and FBI agents and the Associated Press for them to basically share information amongst themselves, including grand jury information, and in order to put pressure on Manafort. We are watching the destruction of the FBI by people actually inside the Mueller investigation like Weissman. This has to stop.
And where are the president's attorneys? Why aren't they raising hell over this stuff? Why in the world would anyone who knows that information from a grand jury is being sent through a conduit that runs straight through the heart of the FBI officialdom to the national left-wing media? I mean, that's a violation of law, as Victoria said.
Yes, absolutely, Lou. And in fact, Manafort's attorneys have asked for a hearing. I actually think the judge is going to grant it. I think there is going to be a hearing. It'll be an opportunity to put Weissman on the witness stand, along with a lot of other FBI and DOJ employees who were involved in setting up these meetings. Remember, the IG report about Strzok and everybody else laid out cold how the FBI had a policy of working with the media to leak information. And these people in the Bureau lied about it to the IG, but they eventually had to admit that it was occurring. It's destroying the Bureau, and it's destroying the Department of Justice. And Chris Wray and Rod Rosenstein will do nothing about it. They're so interested in protecting the institution that they're willing to overlook this type of illegality.
It's disgraceful.
Rosenstein says he feels like it's extortion when it's oversight from the Congressional Committee, that really says a very frightening thing.
I don't know about you, but I find myself less and less concerned about how Rod Rosenstein feels on any given day. The Mueller probe, effectively, it seems to me, may be dead if—and this is an extension—if the Trump attorneys are right, demanding before there's any further discussion with the special counsel that they demonstrate some sort of evidence that there was collusion, some reason to— have a further discussion.
There's no doubt the president of the United States enjoys a special status under the law. And in order to interview him for any reason whatsoever, here it's obviously an impeachment investigation. It's not a criminal case.
Right.
There's no evidence that any crime has been committed. So Mueller is trying to interview the president in an impeachment/counterintelligence investigation. And the law is very clear. The president is unavailable for such inquiries and questioning.
And
under no circumstances should the president agree to this interview. And if Mueller decides he wants to issue a subpoena, I tell you, Lou, the president's going to win that in the Supreme Court, because Mueller can show no reason why all the evidence that he has once hasn't already been obtained from other people.
Okay, that is the audio segment I wanted you to hear. I think it's extremely important. Now, let me explain why it's important. I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you how it fits into this jigsaw puzzle of a mess that we've got going. I want to attribute this, citing the Daily Caller for one, Conservative Treehouse for another. The analysis of this is top notch, but this also proves, I think it shows that those people who are still hanging on to the Trust Sessions and Trust Wray idea are misguided. Now, I'm still open, of course. I will listen to anything. I'm just about anything, that is. I'm still open to something a little bit deeper and wider. However, what I'm seeing is just an accumulation of evidence, direct and anecdotal, that basically everything is as it appears to be, that Mueller had been selected in part, but very, very small part, to protect Hillary Clinton. But Mueller was selected to protect the agencies within the intelligence community, the FBI and the Department of Justice, meaning himself, Comey, Lynch, and others within that venue. And this also goes to prove, I believe, this is one piece of that bigger puzzle, that what we are watching And what we've seen over the last really 1,000 days is an attempt to set up Donald Trump for failure, an attempt to subvert Donald Trump as well as our nation. This is one piece and a very important piece of the puzzle. In fact, this piece could be a game changer insofar as it will further insulate, I believe, along with the SCOTUS pick, of insulate Donald Trump from being harassed by Mueller, because don't forget Kavanaugh was one to state that the sitting president cannot be really bothered, okay, by having to be questioned, especially if there are others in his place, in his stead, to answer the same questions. But that aside, I want to explain this in greater detail. So at the end of this episode, you'll say, oh, I get it now. So this piece of the puzzle has to deal with Paul Manafort. And of course, Paul Manafort is spending 23 and a half hours a day in solitary confinement, in prison. My goodness, MS-13 members, drug kingpins don't even, aren't subjected to that treatment. But here's the deal. This, according to Chuck Ross, a great reporter from the Daily Caller, that the Department of Justice documents that were released this past Friday confirmed that the Department of Justice attorney, the pit bull, Andrew Weissman, he arranged a meeting with journalists in April of 2017 to discuss an investigation into Paul Manafort. Remember, July 31st, 2017 is when the official investigation of Donald Trump, Russian collusion, ostensibly began. In my view, it began much, much earlier. And of course, the intent here was to snare people within the orbit of Donald Trump and for the purposes of setting up Donald Trump. But it was at the epicenter of this, Andrew Weissman, a member of the Department of Justice, high-ranking Department of Justice official, known as the Pit Bull, destroyed many lives with respect to Enron and Arthur Anderson, shown to have violated numerous procedures, as documented by Sidney Powell in the book Licensed to Lie. But beyond that, the documents that were released last week show that Weissman arranged a meeting, and think about this, with the FBI, the Department of Justice, and four members of the Associated Press, four reporters, four AP reporters, on April 11th of 2017. That was a month before Mueller was appointed as special counsel. Manafort's lawyers obtained documents on June 29th. And showed them in a briefing filed in federal court in Virginia. The attorneys are pushing for a hearing into what they say are possible leaks of secret grand jury information, false information, and potentially classified materials from that meeting. The meeting itself, it raises serious concerns about whether a violation of grand jury secrecy occurred. That's according to Kevin Downing, a lawyer for Paul Manafort, who wrote a motion requesting a hearing. A hearing, I suspect, will be granted. Now, I've been involved in a couple of grand jury cases that have gone to grand juries, at least at the periphery, with the commissioned law enforcement officers and also federal agents as well. And that this is something we violate that the sanctity of the grand jury. Let me tell you something. It is, you just don't do that. But I digress. So you've got the Manafort hearing that's going to be coming up. But Paul Manafort's attorney saying, wait. There's something wrong here. Manafort's attorneys have for months questioned whether Weissman, the number two guy on the Mueller team, as I sit here and speak, leaked information about Paul Manafort to the Associated Press. Now, at the time of the meeting, Weissman served as the chief of the Justice Department's criminal fraud section. He served as general counsel to Mueller when he was the FBI director. Let me say that again. Weissman served previously as the general counsel to Mueller when he was FBI director. Hey, let's keep it all in the family, right? Now, Weissman joined the special counsel's investigation when it was formed on May 17, 2017. The existence of meeting between the AP reporters and Department of Justice officials. We first knew about this last January. The government confirmed it for the first time in a pretrial hearing held on June 29th, just a little over a week, 12 days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. In the hearing, FBI agent, special agent Jeffrey Pfeiffer said that the FBI may have conducted a May raid last year of a storage locker that Manafort was running based on a tip from AP reporters. Did you hear that? You've got AP reporters talking to the FBI and saying that this raid on Manafort's storage locker resulted from information given by reporters. He also said that the purpose of the meeting was for the DOJ and the FBI to obtain information from the AP, from the press. Now, just so you know, Manafort is scheduled to go to trial the end of this month, July 25th, for money laundering and bank fraud charges. This is relating to his consulting work for a Ukrainian politician years before joining the Trump campaign. Now, last week's court filing includes two reports about the April 11th, 2017 meeting. One was written by Pfeiffer and another by Supervisory Special Agent Karen Greenaway. The meeting was arranged by Weissman, this according to Greenaway, for the first time establishing that Weissman took part in this meeting. Again, Weissman is working for Mueller right now as he worked for Mueller back then. But anyway. Greenaway also said that Weissman provided guidance to the reporters for their investigation. According to Greenaway, Weissman suggested that the reporters ask Cypriot Anti-Money Laundering Authority, a Cypriot government agency, if it had provided the Department of Treasury with all of the documents they were legally authorized to provide regarding Manafort. Now, here are the AP journalists. Remember these names. Chad Day, Ted Brightus, Jack Gillum, and Eric Tucker. They were conducting an extensive investigation of Paul Manafort, including payments that he allegedly received through various shell companies set up in Cyprus, hence the Cypriot connection. Now, the two of these AP journalists, Day and Gillum, published an article a day after that meeting laying out some of the allegations against Paul Manafort, including the fact that he was listed in a black ledger that documented illicit payments from this Ukrainian party, allied with Russia, with the Russian government, by the way. Now, during the meeting, AP reporters told the Department of Justice and FBI officials that they had learned about Manafort's storage locker. Greenaway's report said that the journalists provided government officials with a code for the storage locker, but did not provide a name or of the company or an address. Okay, well, all right. Well, where'd they get the code? Anyway, Lauren Easton, the director of media relations for the Associated Press, defended the journalist briefing with government officials. Okay, AP journalists met with representatives from the Department of Justice in an effort to get information on stories that they were reporting, as reporters do. That phrase, as reporters do, as journalists do, or as real journalists do, or as real reporters do. Remember that phrase. You're going to be hearing it coming up. I see it in legal documents against me. But just remember that phrase. You may not know what I'm talking about right now, but just remember that phrase. But anyway. During the course of the meeting, they asked the Department of Justice representatives about a storage locker belonging to Manafort without sharing its name. All right. The Department of Justice officials provided other guidance to the reporters. This is a two-way street. This is the press working with the law enforcement Department of Justice on the case. Now, back when I worked as an operational asset for the Department of Justice and FBI, there was no way this would ever happen. But I digress one more time. The Greenway noted that when the journalists asked the Department of Justice officials to tell them if they were off base in their findings about Manafort, government attendees confirmed that the AP reporters appeared to have a very good understanding of Manafort's business dealings in Ukraine. In other words, now, hey, you're right. You're right. Keep going. You're on the right track. Now, in addition to Weissman, Pfeiffer, and Greenway, Justice Department officials, I'm not even sure what it is. Other Justice Departments were at the meeting. I'll just suffice it there. Now, Weissman is the top prosecutor handling the Manafort case and has been one of the most controversial members of the Mueller team. He's the guy that donated $6,600 to the DNC and to the campaigns of both Obama and Hillary Clinton. And remember, he's the guy that attended Hillary Clinton's election night party, Andrew Weissman. He's the guy that attended an election night party. So Mueller was asked about this, and the spokesman declined to comment. I'm not going to say anything. All right, now stop right there for a second. You get the backstory. Now, quickly, this is where Conservative Treehouse and Sundance comes in. In order to understand the implications, just to be clear on what happened here, Andrew Weissman met with AP reporters in April of 2017, a month before Robert Mueller began as special counsel. The information from that meeting, which was essentially based on research provided by the reporters about Paul Manafort, was later used in the formation of the underlying evidence against Paul Manafort to gain a search warrant. You see how this is the press is working here with the Department of Justice, the mainstream media, the AP reporters. And now, to defer to Sundance in this case, to understand the implications, there's got to be an overlay of facts. In April of 2017, the director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, declassified a FISA court ruling that had and still has massive potential implications. Remember that 99-page ruling, which was written by FISA court presiding judge Rosemary Collier, outlined structural issues and admissions by the Department of Justice and FBI about violations of search queries within the NSA and FBI databases that related to Fusion GPS. In other words, people were accessing databases using keyword searches and such. The underlying evidence within the Collier FISA report outlined how the Department of Justice National Security Division under John Carlin, FBI and NSA, under Admiral Mike Rogers, and by the way, Mike Rogers also was the guy that informed Donald Trump on the surveillance of the Trump campaign. But anyway, this report informed the court that unauthorized access to the NSA-FBI database had been ongoing for a long time, and of course, Mike Rogers stopped that. The unauthorized access was driven by contractors, Fusion GPS, who had access, and other journalists, reporters, who had access to the information database were using it back in 2015 and 2016, which goes to the unmasking, which goes to the you're pulling out information that is very limited in terms of accessibility. And then, of course, once you have that information, you've got the unmasking. But since the discovery since that 99-page report and since the discovery of the abuses of this information, including how FBI director at that time, James Comey, allowed his friend Daniel Richmond to have special access to that information database, and other contractors such as Fusion GPS. We must remember the term contractors in that report is rather opaque. We don't know who beyond Fusion GPS had access to NSA FBI database information. So, again, the opposition research against Donald Trump had access to this information in April of 2017 at the time of the meeting I just referenced. Weissman was chief of Justice Department's criminal fraud division, and then Weissman joined the special counsel a month later in May of 2017. FISA searches essentially political opposition research hit jobs, essentially. The ideology within the Department of Justice, National Security Division, FBI, the generic intent of their motive from communication amid the group doing the Clinton and Trump investigation, text messages and such, became public. Bottom line here, and you get Christopher Steele brought into the mix. You've got the FISA abuses brought into the mix. You've got Sally Yates putting up a wall against any investigative or inspector general oversight of this. You've got all sorts of information being hidden. But bottom line here, the bottom line with this, what's going to happen now, and this is where I want to tie up some pieces here, because it may sound like a mess to you if you haven't followed this. Believe me, you've got to get scorecards, name cards, and have a whiteboard and a chalkboard and yarn and lines and connecting everything. This all goes back to the access of databases, including the databases that were referenced by FISA or the audit review of the database process, and who had access to it, and who was unmasking names, and who were the beneficiaries of the information provided by this process. We already know Glenn Simpson was conducting research into Paul Manafort. We know that Fusion GPS paid journalists, many redacted. And we know from British court documents and Simpson transcript, we know Fusion GPS coordinated meetings between journalists and contractors like Christopher Steele. So here's what I'm saying. What we're watching now, because I know I'm short on time, and I always do this, and I apologize for not really completing if you're confused, I apologize. But with everything that we're seeing now, this meeting between Andrew Weissman and AP reporters is the manufacturing of evidence. It is shown to be a collaborative effort with the media with the intent to take down Donald Trump. And you've got people like Weissman being pulled from justice to work for Mueller in order to still take down Donald Trump. Meanwhile, you've got the press, once having access to the databases I referenced, having been cut off from those databases. Of course, as an end around, you had Nellie Orr, Bruce Orr's wife, working for Fusion GPS. Bruce Orr having access to the databases, so that solved that problem. But this will show, the hearings will show, that Weissman was part of and is part of this unlawful attempt to set up Donald Trump. This is what's coming. This is what's coming in the days and weeks ahead. Watch this carefully. Once this will not implode like everything else so far. This will explode. I hope this made sense. Just keep your eyes on this. In addition to Page's testimony, watch the Weissman AP story. May God bless you. Thanks for listening.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report. Tune in to The Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.